The Revolution got their first win since June 19th in a 3-0 shutout against Orlando City SC last weekend, and now the club is back at Gillette Stadium this Saturday night against DC United. Hello again, everyone. I'm Mike Riley for 98.5 The Sports Hub and the public address announcer at Gillette Stadium for The Revolution. Well, with the shutout win last week, that is now the team's third consecutive clean sheet under goalkeeper Jorge Petrovic. And also this past week, reigning MLS MVP Carlos Hill participated in the league's All-Star game at Minnesota. Now, Hill did not start in the competition, but entered in the 70th minute, drew a penalty kick, which eventually set up a 2-1 MLS win over Liga MX. So back to the regular season, the Revs will play four of their next six in Foxborough. DC United currently 14th in the Eastern Conference, 6 wins, 13 losses, 4 ties, while the Revolution return home 7-7-9, currently 10th in the East. This week I'm joined by Revolution assistant coach Richie Williams. And joining me here once again, he's been on here, the Sports Hub Revolution podcast before with us, one of the assistant coaches for your New England Revolution, Richie Williams. Richie, thanks so much for being with me here today.
Anytime, Mike.
Really appreciate it. And in case you don't know, Richie was one of Bruce Arena's star players at the University of Virginia. 5 years later, one of his first ever MLS draft selections in 1986. Just want to make sure you remember all this, Richie.
Yeah,
no, of course. And went on to win 3 MLS Cup titles with DC United in 1996, 97, and 99. DC United is here this weekend against the Revolution. But before that, Richie, let's talk about last weekend. A huge shutout win on the road against Orlando City SC. Humid Orlando fought through it for that crucial win. Like I said, goals from Matt Polster, Wilfred Kaptum, and Henry Kessler. Richie, can you tell us how big that win was for the Revolution as we approach the final 2 months of the regular season?
Yeah, we needed it. I mean, every game is important now. As you said, it's coming to the last part of the season. You know, we're outside the playoff spots right now, so every game is important. To go down to Orlando and have a result like that was great. You know, we've been we're beat up a little bit in terms of injuries, especially to our attacking group. And for us to go down there, we had a little bit of a rough start the first, say, 10 minutes of the game. Orlando put us under a lot of pressure, but we hung in there defensively. And then, like you said, we get those 3 goals from 3 players that really don't score often, but on the day we needed to find some goals. And, you know, after the first 10 minutes of the game, I thought we played well, and, like, you know, we scored goals, we defended well. We played well as a team, possessed the ball well, and like you said, on the road in tough conditions, you know, come out with 3 points was huge for us.
And as you mentioned, Richie, Polster, Kaptum, Kessler, usually not your normal bunch there on the offense, but with the injuries to Gustavo Bow and Dylan Barrero, they really stepped up to give that spark. And what does that say for those guys going forward and the rest of the team to fight through those injuries for a much-needed 3-point victory?
Yeah, no, it was huge. It was, like I said, a great team effort. And again, you can't just depend on your attacking players all the time to score goals. So you need to get goals from your midfields at time. Obviously, set piece for Henry Kessler from a center back was big, and we got to continue to do that. And you know, this week we'll still be missing some key attacking players, but it just gives other players opportunities to get in the game. In this case, Ima Boateng, Atico Rivera, Justin Renix, you know, some of these younger guys. Obviously, Carlos will still be in the game. So it gives that opportunities, and they've proven that they can score some goals, set up some goals, and we hope we can see that on the weekend. And then, you know, still continue to try to get goals from other parts of the field also.
And the Revs defense too, Richie, simply has not allowed goals anymore. It's been awesome. 3 consecutive shutouts for the Revs, 4 games in a row without conceding a goal from open play. In fact, the last time the Revolution had 3 straight clean sheets, you got to go back to 2015. And that really shows how difficult it is to go that long without allowing a goal in MLS. So tell us about what's clicking defensively for the Revolution as of late.
Well, I think it's been a good job collectively throughout the whole team, you know, starting even from the folk, you know, the attacking players through the midfield, to our back four. And then obviously Georgie in goal has done a great job and has come up with some key saves for us when there has been some breakdowns. So I think it's been a great effort from the team. Andrew Farrell and Henry Kessler playing great. Two center backs, our outside backs have done a great job. We ask a lot of them, Brandon Bye and DeJuan Jones, not to only defend for us, but also to get in the attack and give us width and get up and down the flank, which is amazing how well they do with that and their fitness. Matt Polster, Tommy McNamara, Wilfred Captoon, last game Maciel was in the game, so they've done really well in the middle part of the field. And then also we need our top players not just to score goals for us, our attacking players, but they also have to start the defense and put pressure on the opposition higher up the field. So again, a great group effort, and hopefully we can continue it.
Richie, are you a coffee guy? I know it's a random question. You like coffee?
I do like coffee. I'm not like a straight just coffee guy. I'll drink like a latte or a cappuccino. I'm more of a tea guy.
So. A tea. Okay. Well, I was going to ask you, do you like donuts with your coffee? Because you know where this is going, right?
I like that when the next day of training when we get the shutouts and the goalkeeper's bringing the donuts from Dunkin' Donuts. I like to have a donut with my tea. So hopefully, have it again this week. So.
And that's a tradition with you guys with the Revolution here. Goalie buys the teammates donuts after the clean sheet. So, Jorge Petrovic here, everyone at Dunk's known by first name basis now, or what?
I would assume so. I think he was kind of surprised when I first went on. He didn't quite understand what was happening, but he caught on quickly, and he's brought in the Dunkin' Donuts for us. So it's been great, and we just can't eat too many, especially at my age. So.
I was going to say, you guys got to be careful as the soccer guys. Yeah.
But they're great.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it is the capital, the headquarters of Dunkin' Donuts right here in Quincy, Massachusetts. So.
Yeah. Hopefully they're hooking up Georgie. So hopefully he's got many more times he's going in there and getting them.
The Revs run on Dunkin'. Yeah. Middle of the season here, just a handful of games left, and you're – one of four teams with 30 points in the Eastern Conference, Richie. Fifth place right now, 10th place teams are separated by just 3 points. So two-part question here. What does that say about the parity in the Eastern Conference this season, and what will it take for the Revolution to distance from the pack and claim one of those playoff spots?
Well, yeah, I mean, you obviously just said it, a ton of parity because everyone gets so close. So, for us, it basically comes down to getting results. It's a huge game this weekend, playing home against DC United. DC United's changed their team up quite a bit now since Wayne Rooney came in as new manager. And, they've obviously haven't had great success this season. But again, with the change of a manager and they brought in some new players, it's a challenge going into the weekend. But you want to make sure you come out the right way and kind of jump on them and get the 3 points at home. And it's huge because then, the next two games we have to travel to Canada and play again a much improved Toronto team that also has added a bunch of new players. And then Montreal has been good all season. So that's going to be a very, very difficult road trip after this. So again, it just comes down to results. You got to get results. You got to get wins. When you can't win, especially on the road, if you can get a point and a draw, if we can continue to play well defensively, get some of our attacking players back. Hopefully the players that are playing now in the attacking positions can help us by getting some goals. And it comes down to getting wins and draws on the road and advancing and moving forward up into trying to get into the top seven.
As I mentioned at the top of the interview here, Richie, you've won 3 MLS Cups during your playing days with DC United and halfway to Michael Jordan's ring total. And very impressive, of course. But some things that you learned during your playing days about what it takes to succeed in MLS that you share with players as a coach today?
Yeah, I think, it's not easy, obviously, winning championships. And the biggest thing for me is consistency. Mm-hmm. And obviously playing as a team and knowing how to get results. The best teams know how to get results when even on the day that maybe you don't play your best soccer, you're not playing your best, you can get a point on the road, you can get 3 points, and that comes from consistency, playing well together. Obviously, I truly believe in having a very good defense, which we've shown that early in the season we weren't able to put it all together defensively, and it cost us points and it cost us results. And now we have gotten it together defensively, and hopefully we can continue that. And then obviously you got to be able to score some goals too. And we fully expect that when we get back our attacking players, that we can continue to do that. So it's not easy. It's you got to have consistency. You got to play as a team. You got to defend well and then be able to get your goals when you need to. And then in MLS, we all know if you're in the top seven, you get in the playoffs, you have a chance. You know, and you even see New York's run last year. They won a couple games, you know, obviously against us and penalty kicks. And they got some fortunate bounces here and there. And they went all the way to the final and won the final. There's no reason why we can't do the same. If, you know, we just got to make sure this end of the season is goes in the right direction.
Yep, I've been saying that. Just get into that dance and get hot. That's it, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking to try to do, for sure.
It's all about. And you've worked with Bruce Arena the majority of your career as a coach and a player. Mentioned you recruited you to the University of Virginia, drafted you D.C. United, hired you as an assistant coach with the New York Red Bulls and the U.S. men's national team before bringing you here to New England 3 years ago. So what is it like working with Bruce Arena, winning as head coach at MLS history every day? And how much have you learned from him both as a player and a coach?
Yeah, well, I mean, the part with Bruce is he's proven that he's, you know, been the most successful coach in Major League Soccer history. And you know, you could say within coaching in our country, and you know, obviously we don't have a huge history around the world, but obviously very well with the national team. You know, again, I think it's what we just talked about, that, you know, and I could remember back to my teams at Virginia, teams at DC United, you know, any of these successful teams, it's some of the things I just talked about earlier in terms of, you know, how do you play as a team? You know, what's the team culture like within the organization and you know, on and off the field? It's important not just to have good players, but good people that are willing to sacrifice for one another, work hard for one another, and do it day in and day out on a consistent level. And then again, going back to what we're talking about on the field, having players that know how to win, they're competitive, who know how to not just attack at times, but to do when needed to defend, having a good defense. And then again, just a really hardworking, competitive team that, you know, is willing to put the work in day in and day out. And that's a, you know, recipe for success. And that's, look back to all the teams that I was on, you know, as a player with Bruce and coach with Bruce, that's kind of the recipe you're looking for. And again, like we said, it's not easy, but you just got to keep, you know, you don't get too down when there's the lows, and you don't get too high when there's the highs. And at the end of the day, you can put yourself in a good position to be able to win and win championships.
Let's talk about the reigning MLS MVP, Carlos Hill. He represented the Revolution at the 2022 MLS All-Star Game this week, second year in a row for him. Richie, you've been around a lot of great players in your career in MLS. Where do you rank Carlos among those players you've coached and played against?
Yeah, Carlos is a great player. I've played with and against a lot of great players, and you know, I never obviously played with Carlos, but I coach him on a regular basis, and obviously watch him on the field. And Carlos is technically gifted, great left foot, you know, runs with the ball very well, good passer, extremely fit, you know, can score goals. Obviously, sets up a bunch of goals. He had a, you know, tremendous, you know, great season last year. He's been great with us for the three plus years that we've been here now. And you know, the other part for me with Carlos is that I think he's such a good player because he's a very good person. He's a good teammate. He's super competitive too. He's a little bit on the quiet side when it might not show that emotions, but well, he did have a couple of nice interviews at the end of some games, I guess, earlier this season, coming out of the shell maybe a little bit. But he is, you know, kind of a reserved guy, but shows it through his him being very competitive in training and wanting to do well in training and win in training and in games. And so I think he's a competitive guy. He's a team guy, and he's obviously a very talented player, and he completely deserved the MVP last year. And I don't know why he didn't start in the All-Star game last night. So I'm not.
Yeah.
No, that was kind of odd. But, yeah, he's definitely top player in the league.
Definitely. And I know if you can't answer this or touch on it, no worries. But I'll be happy to speak on behalf of the fans and all of Revolution Nation. There was no need to play those two matches in the snow. That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So you can leave it at that, no problem. But I'm just getting it off my chest on behalf of Carlos Hill.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
So, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not going to really comment on it. But,
no, I know. Yeah,
you know, hey, Carlos' voice, you know, he can.
Yeah, he's a leader.
Voice, voice his opinion, and that was his opinion on those games, and so be it. You know, he moved on from it and goes into the next game and tries to win the next games. So, you know, good for Carlos, good leadership qualities in Carlos, and he's been a good captain for us.
I think a lot of people jumped on the Carlos Hill train on that one there. So what about the last couple of weeks here too, Richie? You guys really busy in that transfer window. Three new players, defender Christian McCoon, Ismael Tajori Shradi, and goalkeeper Clement Diop. So added depth here, final 2 months. What are you hoping these guys can bring to the team, and what have you seen from them in training this week?
Yeah, you know, starting with Diop, Bruce and our technical director, Kurt Anoffa, had Diop in with the Galaxy some years back. And, you know, they really liked him as a player, another goalkeeper to come in for depth. Obviously, you know, losing Matt earlier in the season, bringing Georgie in, we had the injury. And then basically just having more depth, you know, in terms of our center backs, you know, same, just bringing in depth. We thought Christian, when we played against him when he played for Miami last year, in the last games of the season, and we were impressed with him. And then Charlotte again this year, we played against them, and we thought he was, you know, a very good left-footed center back, international for Venezuela. Seems like a great guy, and you know, I think he'll have opportunities to play next week, you know, even this weekend, but even next week with going into Canada and 3 games in a week. So some depth there at left center back or left back. And then Tajori Shradi, just another talented technical attacking player. Unfortunately, he's still injured right now. You know, we're hoping to see him back on the field in a couple of weeks. But you know, seems like a very good person. Heard, you know, great reports about him. And unfortunately, he just had some injuries, and he'll be back. But very technical, gifted player that hopefully can help us in the attack also. So yeah, just some players that we feel that can help the team become even better.
I'm excited to see how that all pans out over the last couple of months.
Yeah.
Here we go. By the way, since the last time you joined us was last year, I looked it up in the archives, and what we started adding this year is a little lightning round for everyone here. So I'm going to give you some random questions. Give me like 5 seconds or less on them, all right?
Wait. You're going to ask me a question?
Oh, yeah. It's nothing hard. Don't worry. I promise you.
Okay.
So, and don't feel like you'd be offending anyone, because I want you to tell me, who was the funniest player on the team? Go ahead.
Funniest player, Andrew Farrell.
Okay. How about the funniest member on the coaching staff?
Funniest member on the coaching staff. I don't even know. Bruce Arena.
He does have a dry sense of humor, yeah. And I do like that. I appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah. All right. How about the best dressed player on the team?
Oh, my God. Brandon Bye.
You know, everyone has said that about him, too. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Besides yourself, if you want to say yourself, too, best dressed on the coaching staff.
Definitely myself.
Definitely yourself. Yeah, good.
Shaori's a very interesting dresser, Shaori Joseph.
Yes, he is.
But nice dresser also.
Okay, I like it. What is your favorite movie or series?
Favorite movie or series? I'm watching this. I think it's Netflix series right now called Fauda. Pretty amazing. I'm in the middle of that, so I would say that right now. And then favorite movie? Oh man, I don't even know. I'm trying to think. I'll say the last movie I saw with my kids. I saw Thor in the movie with
good
my
one.
Kids. That's an Avengers movie, right? Like,
yeah.
They love those. So I enjoy watching movies with my kids, and I usually will go see movies with them. So I can't think what my favorite movie is of all time right now. But
I'll give you mine. Mine's Goodfellas. It's been a tough year for the mob too, Richie. A lot of those actors have passed away.
Yeah.
Ooh, man.
That was a good movie, yeah.
Oh, it is my favorite, yeah. So favorite off-the-field hobby or activity?
Well, lately I've gotten back into golf over the last – year and a half or two. I'd played for a long time when I was a player, when I didn't have children, when I wasn't a coach and I had time, and I stopped for about 15 years. And Kevin Hitchcock, our goalkeeper coach, and Bruce likes to play. So got back into it since COVID. I've been spending time playing golf with those guys.
Good for how many kids you got, Richie, too, by the way?
I have 3 children, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. Are they golfers yet, or you're trying to break them into it?
No, actually, my youngest 15-year-old, Andrew, I had him out at the driving range a couple times.
Yeah.
I have an 18-year-old boy, Michael. He's not into it, and my daughter's 20. She's
okay.
No one's ever got into it. They were all into soccer when they were younger. Yeah, they haven't joined me on the golf course yet. So
okay, that's good. All good. And then finally, this is a very important one. What is your go-to pregame meal or snack?
Go-to pregame meal or snack. Well, I'm not a great cook, so I'm depending on everybody else to give me food. So I don't know. I think a lot of times, even after I eat my meal, I'll have like a oatmeal with or a yogurt with oatmeal with fruit in it and a cup of tea, or granola and yogurt with fruit in it with a cup of tea. So
okay,
have a cup of tea beforehand with the rest of the staff.
All right, good stuff. I like it. We just wanted to try to get to know Richie Williams here. That's all it was on, you know. So
I didn't. I'm gonna have to think this stuff through for the next time.
Well, that's why I give them you fast questions. You know,
now I'm gonna get ready for the next time.
Well, Richie, thank you so much. Really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule, and good luck on Saturday.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Once again, my thanks to assistant coach Richie Williams. Fans, don't forget Revolution back in Foxborough this weekend against DC United at 7:30 Saturday, August 13th. For tickets to the match or any of the remaining home matches, visit revolutionsoccer.net or call 877-GET-REVS. My name is Mike Riley. Follow me on Twitter at Sarge985. The Sports Hub account is at 98.5 The Sports Hub. And, of course, you want to check out our podcast page. It is at SoccerCast96. Thanks again for listening, and go Revs!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.